Well, welcome everyone. So now we will have 7121 Wisconsin Avenue, and after that, a related project, 7126 Wisconsin Avenue, both of which are improving the farm women's market. These are both at the concept plan phase, so it's right before sketch plans, more of an initial phase. For everyone here to know, we are recording, and the way that we'll proceed is we'll have about 10 to 15 minutes of presentation. Then the panel will have time to give comments and questions, and then we will, if there's time, we'll have time for the public to speak, and then we'll also have a straw vote and their thoughts on the public benefit points and whether or not there are any red flags to receiving at least the minimum 10. So that's how we'll move forward. We'll have about an hour for each project. So you can begin.
Great. Just a couple of remarks. I'm Chris Rulin with the law firm of Lord Charlie Brewer. We represent one of the applicants for one of these concept plans here today, and that's Columbia Realty Venture, LLC. They are the applicant for the 7121 portion of the project, and bundled with that concept plan is the farmers market site. We're pleased to be here today with representatives from Wisconsin Avenue Properties, LLC, who are the applicants for the related project at 7126 Wisconsin Avenue, and also partners in the joint venture entity that is proposing to acquire and redevelop the farmland's market site. What we sort of plan to do for efficiency is give a presentation that touches on all of the related portions of these projects. We're happy to adjust as necessary, but we have material ready to go. We think it's an efficient way to go through the proposal. And rather than do introductions, because we have a large number of team members here, I think we should just get right into it. But I did want to just remark, these applications are at the concept plan stage, so they're very preliminary, very conceptual in nature. They'll be followed by formal sketch plans, site plans, and preliminary plans we anticipate for at least a portion of the site. And in connection with those reviews, the plans are going to be refined, and so therefore they're subject to change. But we are happy to be here at this very preliminary point to kind of show what we are thinking and where it's headed, and to receive and begin to incorporate some of the feedback. So with that, I'll hand it over.
Great. I'm Joe Bukevich. I'm here from FX Collaborative along with my colleague Jim Dushong. We've worked collaboratively on these two projects along with the rest of the team. I'll be talking about 7121, and Jim will follow up about 7126. And in the interim, we'll have our colleagues from Land Design talking about the farm women's market. So we put this together as one sort of rolling presentation, not separate presentations. We can sort of pause if need be along the way. So with that, I'll just describe a little bit of the context. So the two sites are located on Wisconsin Avenue at the termination of Bethesda Avenue, where the farm women's market stands today. 7126 is on the west side, 7121 on the east. And I think this is a fairly prominent intersection at the southern edge of the Bethesda Central Business District. Here you can see some images of the context. The building to the south of both sites is relatively tall, but it's the first tall building that you approach as you come to Wisconsin Avenue, 7101, the Donahoe Building, and the Solaire on the west side. And so with that, we took, from design guidelines, we took a few things to heart. We looked at the whole thing, of course, but a few things we thought were particularly important here were strengthening the center of activity, this being that important intersection of Bethesda and Wisconsin, and the farmwoman's market site adjacent to both projects, respecting urban infill, so understanding that our projects don't stand alone. They're part of a larger rezoning effort. There are taller buildings proposed adjacent to our sites. We want to understand that and be respectful. Creating a vibrant pedestrian realm, so that's about really the streetscape, the ground floor. Stepping back the massing to define the urban scale. This one is, I think, works in concert with crafting a unique geometry. We see those things as kind of like an opportunity for us to do both and. So it's not just about stepping back, it's also about creating geometries. And then varying the height of the towers, allowing these things to really have presence on the skyline. Creating a unique identity, breaking down the building massing, and connecting to public green space. celebrating the outdoor open space, and of course, design excellence. So with that, I'll walk through 7121. The site is on the east side of Wisconsin, just south of the Farmlands Market. Here you can see it's a relatively narrow site, 20,000 square feet. This is not the building. This is just an extrusion of the overall volume that's permitted on the site from a height standpoint. You can see we've paid attention to the ground floor, trying to differentiate that, set the building back from the curb line to create enough streetscape pursuant to the guidelines, and then crafting the tower, so and adjusting it so that it respects its neighbors. So on the south side, we set back from 7101 above the ground floor, and then on the north side, we've set back at the ground floor and then above a base. So creating a distinct base, allowing for that ground floor to have more pedestrian flow across the Farm Women's Market site, which you'll see later. But that's also our main curb cut into the site. Here, we then took that form and looked at crafting the geometry to break up the long expanse of the building on the north side, especially, but also to sort of offset the views from the Farm Women's Market site and really give that building a unique shape. Then taking the northwest corner, allowing that to elevate to enclose some of the mechanical spaces that are required for the building, but also let that corner be the prominent corner rather than allow extra height anywhere else on the site. That sort of works in concert with 7126, which you'll see next. And then looking at how this relates to the context again, on the north side, we see this as sort of stepping up with the green space on the terrace at the fourth floor. And then on the south side, really stepping up from 7101, the Donahoe project or building to the south. And then these next few steps were really about then enhancing the geometry, pulling out on the west side to cantilever out above the base, creating a unique bay window opportunity there to really mark that intersection. Then further sculpting the form by carving away the overall mass with some reveals that will then sponsor balconies, which you see here, which we'd like to think are a way of bringing green space from the Farm Women's Market site. And there is also a park proposed to the east, a civic green, and so bringing that idea up through the building. So that's sort of our genesis of the concept. Then moving into the elevations, This was something we provided after the initial submission to the DAP, but this is showing you the approved heights from the Bethesda downtown plan adjacent to our site. So on 7121, you'll see that we have this 35 feet allowable on the Farm Women's Market site, but the adjacent context is of a similar height, of a comparable height. And likewise, this is an east-west section, if you will, or elevation. Looking at the north side of the building, you can see the town of Chevy Chase on the left, Wisconsin Avenue in the middle, and 7126 the west side of Wisconsin. So finally, here are some views of the building as we're proposing it. These show some articulation of the facades. This is really the beginnings of the concept. The materials and the actual materials and the sort of details are not really worked out yet. We'll get to that in later phases of the development of the project. But here you can see the rendering of that form with some horizontal striation as a dominant theme within the architectural expression. We've punctuated that with some color at key areas where there are setbacks and where there are balconies. At the ground floor, we've articulated the lobby with a large expanse of glass facing both a portion of the northwest corner at Wisconsin and then facing north to the Farm Women's Market site. That side of the project, and you'll see more about this when Matt and Tate talk about the Farm Women's Market, is a Wooner-type street, which will be a sort of curbless environment for pedestrians and vehicles to travel across the site from east to west and also into our building. And then we have retail facing Wisconsin Avenue. And you can see on the Wisconsin Avenue side, we have an expression that's more vertical. One thing that we addressed with the staff was looking at step back above the base on Wisconsin Avenue. We looked at several options for that, and the proportions of this vertical on the south side of the building was really not as significant when we did a step back there. So it was decided that we have a reveal at the fourth floor that extends on along the north side. That reveal could terminate, and we could have this long vertical bay window, if you will, on the south, complementing the projected bay window on the north side. Similarly, on the east side, this is facing the parking lot that will become a future Civic Green. We looked at that reveal on the north side, extending all the way through, but again, the proportions of that vertical element on the southwest or southeast corner was preferred. We did incorporate a step back at the uppermost level before the roof in order to sort of acknowledge the scaling down, stepping down to the east. You can see our loading and service areas are on the east side. There is a grade change there of about 6 feet, so that wall that you see facing east is reduced in height. It is a blank wall. There's loading behind it, but we envision that as something that will get some treatment with material we have yet to define, with some scale and texture that will allow for it to have character, unique character, and it will also be part of the park, so we're anticipating that there will be greenery in that zone. That was another concern that came up with staff. So then looking, we're back on Wisconsin Avenue looking north. You can see that projected bay window. Again, the proportion of that vertical element on the south side. We have stepped back on the south side approximately 6 feet from our neighbor to the south to create some separation. They already have, I think, approximately 20 feet step back above a parking base. You can make out in the shadowy image here that they've got a parking base, and then they step back, I think, approximately 20 feet. We've treated that wall with a combination of solid and glazed materials. Some of that glazed material will be opaque glass that would have fire rating because of the proximity to the property line. We also articulated that corner with some balconies to further sort of give interest to that facade. And here you can see the image of the building from the north on Wisconsin Avenue with Farm Women's Market in the foreground. Sort of pivoting around to look head on at the Farm Women's Market from a more of an eye level perspective. Our lobby is facing the Farm Women's Market. We've set back, basically the tower above is set back 15 feet from the property line, our property line, and the base is set back about 9 feet from that property line. The lowermost level is about 15 feet again. So we really tried to give deference to the Farm Women's Market as much as possible by setting the building back, both at the ground floor and even at the base levels, rather than, we initially had these base levels projecting a bit more in response to some comments from staff. We pulled that back because we thought that it gave better deference to the Farm Women's Market site and the building on that site. This is, again, that UNERF-type street that has a curbless environment to encourage both pedestrians and vehicles. The lobby is facing this space, and we see that as a glazed facade with a lot of activity on the inside. We'll probably have a leasing office and some amenities behind that wall, so this really is meant to activate that space. And here you can see a plan of that. Retail fronting Wisconsin, our service and loading located to the east, and that lobby fronting Wisconsin Avenue, but also facing the north with a drop-off area would be defined within the UNERF to allow for vehicles to drop off before they enter the garage. We'll talk a little bit more about the vehicular circulation on the site, the Farm Women's Market, and then service areas to the east. And so that is the final view of this project. We can then move on to the Farm Women's Market site. Matt, you first.
Thanks, Joe. By way of introduction, my name is Matt Clark. I'm a landscape architect with Land Design. I'm joined by Tade Wilger, who's also a landscape architect with our firm. Tade, maybe you could run the slides for a second. We'd like to take just a few minutes and walk you all through the conceptual designs for the Farm Women's Market site. We actually started working on this earlier this year. And by way of introduction, we've had a meeting or two with staff. Folger Pratt has met with staff before that as well. So the plans that we're going through right now have to some degree and to a large extent, incorporated comments to date. So we'll talk about the site briefly, quickly what we've heard from staff and both internal discussions, a little bit about some precedents in terms of the look, the feel, the character that we're thinking for some of these spaces. And then finally, Tate will talk about some of the plan components themselves. So starting with the site, and Joe touched on a lot of this stuff, it's clearly at a very important location in Bethesda. Certainly it is the period at the end of the sentence along Bethesda Avenue. A very prominent location from that, and also a gateway. It's about 7/10 of an acre in size, and which is kind of right in the sweet spot for the definition of a civic green space per the city design guidelines, Bethesda design guidelines. And in large part, we kind of see it as the elbow or the knuckle between 7121 and 7126 on kind of a more exact location. You know, the site itself, go to the next slide, Tate. A couple of the key elements on the site that helped inform us and at least ask some questions out of the gate. There's, of course, the FWM building, a locally historic structure that's looked at being redone. In terms of the architecture, it's not a change in terms of the character or anything like that. But that's clearly the key part. From a landscape architecture and site perspective, there's a couple other key considerations, not the least of which are these fairly massive sycamore trees. They're planted right on axis with this building. And I think, and that's a point we'll come back to a little bit in the future, even when Jim's talking about the 7126 building, how we've used the architecture to help frame this space out and lead people's eye to it. But we think these are a great element, a very kind of iconic element for this site, and that also serves the functional kind of requirements of providing shade and cover for users. One of the other elements that has become very important both internally and in our discussions with staff is the fencing and how this space is defined. We absolutely believe that can be repurposed and reused, and as Tate talks about the design, you'll hear that come up again, a very key feature. Fourth point of consideration for this site is, I don't have the exact numbers, but I bet 90% of this is impervious. I mean, it's all parking lot right now. So that's one of the big moves that we want to have in terms of the design is let's just get rid of the impervious and more softscape for this site. So a couple of the key site considerations that aren't directly related to the physical aspects of the site. Circulation. Both in the master plan for the downtown and the design guidelines, there are several references to this being a key kind of circulation node within this district, certainly for pedestrians, vehicles, but also for bicycles. So we want to be very cognizant of how people get through the site and allow for a fair amount of porosity. Right now, it has the fence, and I think we can maintain that, but we really just want to open the site up a lot more. And to a large degree, also embrace 7121 to the south. And Joe had started talking about the Woonerf, so some great opportunities there. You'll see over and over the notion that we want this to be truly park-like in its look, its feel, its nature. And one of the key points I think about that is we're not imagining or reimagining this site. In large part, we want to keep it visually kind of within the same, what I call a squint test. It's a known space within Bethesda. We want to maintain that and think of the design as an evolution of that. That's really what we're talking about. So a couple key takeaways from that is retain the existing elements and trees, building, fencing, change a couple elements, and also be very cognizant of the kind of the interior to exterior relationship of the FWM building with the site. I think there's a great opportunity there to really integrate the building and its uses inside with the site itself. So, Tate, just go back one slide. So in talking through things with staff, we heard a couple things, and we've absolutely embraced them. We recognize and want to celebrate the fact that this is a key focal point at the end of Bethesda Avenue. It needs to be treated as such. Overall, the general look, feel, form of it wants to be park-like, not overly programmed. You'll see this notion that I have listed up here is less is more. I mean, we really want this to be a flexible space that allows for different user groups at different times, during different times of the year, to use this space. The site identity and preserving that is paramount in our mind. And whether that is literal historical references to what happened here and how we do that, whether it's through interpretive signage or some sort of a celebratory statement or something like that, we're working through that with staff. But we absolutely want to embrace the local historical history of this property. A couple of the other key points are, again, just how do we integrate this? Again, very important from kind of a functional aspect, but also from a kind of a cultural and social aspect. So the next slide that I'm going to walk you through quickly is some of the precedents for the site. And again, they kind of cross the board from materiality to possible uses of spaces to kind of everything in between. You know, we've talked about the fencing and kind of those key site elements that we can use to reinforce the specialness of this place. This image, and to a lesser degree, this one down on the bottom, I think are really important to get to this notion of the interior to exterior relationship. I mean, I absolutely love this one. It's down in my neighborhood in Alexandria, and they've got a restaurant that also has a quasi-public space that is used by the community and the patrons at the same time. And it really activates the space and brings indoors to outdoors, which we think is important. Joe had started talking about the notion of the Wooner on the south side of the property. Again, we think there's a great opportunity to make this more than just an alley. I mean, it certainly has to have the functional aspect of working for service and deliveries and getting people into the building. But there's a great opportunity through the materiality and even things as simple as, Joe, you mentioned, the curbless environment, you know, so we can have a lot more of this porosity across the site. And we can do some really interesting things with the materiality of this to kind of give people the visual cues of what is car area, what is people area, and how the two can kind of interplay. As we go down through some of these other images, because believe me, we've lived through precedent images. I mean, everybody's looking at other things and appreciating what they like. You know, there could be opportunities within this site for smaller elements. Like, you know, at least I've seen a lot of the little free libraries popping up. I'm not saying this is the right answer, but there are those kind of elements that can engage the community on different levels. And really that's what we're trying to do, is turn this into a community space. It all kind of ends up down here with this notion of we see this space as absolutely one for shared use for the community, so that multiple user groups can be here at the same time, experience it in different ways and through different points in the year. Tade's going to take you through the actual good stuff. I didn't get the good stuff. I got this. He's going to take you through the actual plan itself, talk about some of these spaces, and also walk you through a couple test studies we've done to understand how different uses might impact how much space they take up on a site. And then finish it off with a quick discussion of how the circulation for this site kind of interplays with both 7121, 7126, and to a large degree the larger area itself.
So this is our concept plan for Farm Women's Market. I'm going to start up here on the north with the lawn and curve around and wind up down here on the shared street. So when I see this plan, you know, our focus has really been the lawn over here adjacent to Farm Women's Market. When you come up with Bethesda, you really see the market, but this would be in close proximity to it. And that's the flexible, multifunctional, multi-user space. And we'll talk about potential programs after this slide. But I think really it could change by the hour, by day, by users, an open lawn area that we are framing with a walk and then benches. That really leads you down here to this space, which we see as a potential stage where there could be a performance, a screen on the green concert area. And that's part of our shared street that we've discussed. And then potentially a food truck would be the terminus of that space. Is something that staff was interested in, and we know that people are interested in different vendors and market stalls in this area, so we're providing a space or stage for these to occur. Next to that is Willow Lane, and really that's the sidewalk that's going to connect your neighborhoods to the east and also Elm Street Park to the north. We know in the design guidelines that this is called out as a greenway, so it's providing connections to that as well. We are providing a wide sidewalk, so you could have different vendors, stalls. The county had mentioned that potentially Willow Lane could close down for different events, so we are providing a space for that to happen. Then you start to come down around Wisconsin Avenue. We are aware of the design guidelines, the herringbone, red brick. Like Matt said, we do like the idea of the white wood fence, so that is starting to frame Farm Women's Market, and that continues on Wisconsin Avenue.
And I think there, just along Wisconsin, there's a great opportunity, given the streetscape guidelines, to improve that whole experience, because right now it's a fairly constrained sidewalk. There's a lot of bric-a-brac in it, whether it's light poles or other kind of utilities.
Sure.
So there's a great opportunity to give us more of a presence there, I think.
This space between the streetscape and Farmland's Market, I was starting to call this the green. Obviously, we are taking a lot of the hardscape out, like Matt had mentioned in the past, and putting in plants and softscape. And it's supposed to create a buffer between the Farmland's Market and the streetscape out there. Some visual distance, which is nice, and then green just softens the space. There's been discussion that it could potentially be nice to have a historic medallion in the ground, so we did provide a space in the lawn. But that, of course, could be moved to the corner, which may be a nice option as well. But really, you start to come in then to the building at Farm Women's Market, and right now there's an existing sidewalk that leads you to the front door. We think it'd be nice to come around from either side, and that starts to frame and kind of like respect and honor the existing trees that are there. And underneath of that, we're calling it a sycamore terrace, probably like a crushed stone underneath that with some like contemporary cool benches. That would wrap around the trees and provide some like offset from them, but people could still sit in the shade. That leads you to Farm Women's Market. We are working with an architect, and they are adding a bump out. I wanted just to mention that, a 20 by 27 foot for restroom storage building systems. And then we are providing a door to the back for utilitarian use, basically. Around the Farm Women's Market, we want to have a terrace, like a garden terrace. It's closely associated with the building itself and whatever function is going to go in there. But this would provide cafe seating. That's another flexible space, some cool lighting. You know, we like the idea of outdoor sofas, couches, chairs, fire tables, and it's creating, you know, the indoor-outdoor space and providing activity for this area during the day, during night as well. So then you continue to come down around, and we get to this that we were calling a Moon Earth, which is really just a shared street, flush curb condition. We are providing areas for two-way vehicular traffic to the garage that's back here and loading, but really we want to encourage pedestrians to use this space, so this is the mid-block connection that comes down around, and we are providing a staircase to the parking lot. And then this comes down Wisconsin Avenue, wraps around 7121, and leads to the lobby doors. You can see that right now we're not proposing bollards along here. It's kind of, the idea is the gorilla planter pots that you'd come out with different sizes, shapes, planter pots, different colors, and place them along there. And that starts to create kind of like a barrier, or at least a definition of where the cars will go and the people will walk. That leads down to a wall that Joe was mentioning earlier, a low wall here and a retaining wall holding up the parking lot to the east. This road does continue along to Willow Lane, and we are providing a trash enclosure back there and another set of stairs to lead to the parking lot, and then you would come out to Willow Lane. I think I've hit all the big points. After this, we did some, we called them pink dot diagrams, just to show you potential programs that could happen here. So the first one, when we met with the county a while ago, they're really interested in keeping the market idea, vendors, stalls, booths, so that could happen potentially along Willow Lane. Right now we're showing food trucks, but just this really simple diagram showing you that 45 people can fit in that space. And that's pretty specific just up there. You'd still have other activities going on in the green.
What is the dimension between the planter box and your picket fence?
Right up here?
Yeah, between that picket fence and then the planter box is with the trees.
Oh, the sidewalk is 8 feet wide.
8 feet, okay.
We like the idea of a concert night, so you have people gathering on your lawn, 75 people there easily. We have screen on the green, put down your blankets, lay on the ground, 55 people.
And again, all of this was to test how that maybe that primary space might be used. Well, at the same time, you can imagine, I call it the front porch, the terrace around the FWM building could still be occurring. There could still be people out, say, under the sycamore terrace. So it's this notion of a couple different things happening at the same time. And just kind of testing out how that might play out.
All right. It's a very flexible, dynamic space. Yoga on the lawn, you have your yoga mats, 45 people can fit there. And then we zoomed out so we could show you all three of the projects. 7121 down here, Farm Women's Market, and here's 26 across the street. The first thing we're showing is pedestrian crosswalks. We have three crosswalks, but really we have pedestrians going up and down Wisconsin, Willow, Bethesda, Miller, and then the mid-block connections I told you we're providing along here, and actually another staircase. Next is the bicycle that comes down Bethesda on the north side, crosses, and then hugs Willow Lane next to our site. And lastly, Matt hit this a few times, but the view shed coming up Bethesda Avenue is really important to us. I think that's the last landscape.
Yep. Great.
Yeah.
All right. Deep breath. One more to go here, and then we can dive into questions. Great. So, lastly, we've talked about 7121. We've talked about the Farm Women's Market. We're now going to go across the street, talk about 7126. Again, all three of these are being designed together, as Joe mentioned. The approach to these buildings, although they are unique buildings, they take on similar ideas and similar strategies to help really tie them together and create this unique identity for the development as a whole. So if we zoom in on our site here, you'll see that we enjoy full frontage along Wisconsin Avenue. Then we have Bethesda to the north, Miller to the south. Miller really sort of acts like an alley, if you will. There's a lot of parking and loading off of that. But the main pedestrian corridors here running along Bethesda in Wisconsin. And then we've got a mid-block parcel as well. So we've got a tight little site here, but I think we can really do something special with it. The first thing that we do is we really need to understand and differentiate the base of the building from the tower. What this allows us to do is create this three-story podium, which really responds to the pedestrian scale, then allowing the tower to do something a little more special in response to the urban scale. At that lower pedestrian scale, we've introduced retail primarily at the ground floor, so that really helps to knit together the great retail life, the intimate setting that already exists along this street. And then as our friends from Land Design just mentioned, they're doing all three of these projects, so there's really a cohesive vision from a landscape aspect that really crosses the street, starts to tie these two properties together, and really takes advantage of our direct connectivity to this great public green space. Okay, so as we start to look at the building itself, we recognize that Bethesda is already a congested and highly used pedestrian street. And so we know that that's just going to get worse. So we're going to expand the setback actually beyond the prescribed minimums and really start to create more space at that ground floor, allow that interior to fall, allow that interior to come out with some seating as the precedent starts to show here, but really giving more space for pedestrians through along Bethesda Avenue there. This is also identified as a canopy corridor, so this additional setback also allows those tree canopies to really reach full maturity. The next thing we do is we see the tower as a series of building blocks, and so what this allows us to do is start to take on more slender, thin proportions. It also allows us to vary the heights of the tower, because what happens is we start to set up this appropriate relationship between the buildings. So we're stepping up from the lower scale to the south, really creating a special moment here at the skyline, as well as stepping up from the west to the east. So really building up that urban scale with a focus on this key intersection. We start to break down that mass even further with reveals and balconies so that those proportions, those thin, slender proportions, are even more recognizable. So one thing that's really interesting about this, because it's a narrow building, we didn't want to go crazy with a lot of different ideas. So our main gesture along Wisconsin here is actually very clever. We take the tower and the base and we just shift them off of each other. So what you're going to see with this is that it's going to create a step back above the base to the south along Wisconsin, and then it's going to create this really interesting cantilever that creates a focal point at the intersection of Wisconsin and Bethesda. So again, all we're doing is shifting, but that shift then creates this very dynamic play of the tower to the base. And then finally, we just further celebrate that open space, both from an inside-out standpoint with big glassy corners for users to have that direct visual connectivity, and then from an outside-in approach with balconies and the reveal zones and terraces. The key to this, in the end, is really a site-specific design. This building was not designed for a spot down the street. It wasn't designed for a different city. It was designed in direct response to its context here, both the buildings, the pedestrian scale, and that connectivity to the Farm Women's Market. So similar to what we showed on the other project, if you take a cut through Wisconsin Avenue here, you can really see how this is just the next sort of tooth in this build-up to the denser urban fabric of the city. And then a cut along Bethesda here shows how, you know, as you come up the hill, you're building up, you reach your pinnacle where it wants to be, and then you start to step back down then as you get back further to the residential neighborhood. So when we look at our building, what we first start to notice overall is really a clear definition of the overall mass. We've broken it into these thinner, slender proportions, and you start to notice a graining that happens in the building. We took a more horizontal approach on this side, in deference to the park itself, whereas here we take some of that horizontality, but now we really start to express the verticality of this building and its key location at the Farm Women's Market site and intersection. If we zoom in closer, you'll see how we took that three-story base, really articulated it in a finer grain manner to respond to the pedestrian atmosphere there. What you start to notice then as you come up the building is that play of the horizontal and the vertical. The horizontals are more dense low, and then they start to spread out as you come up. Also, we saw that although this building is divided into these separate masses, it's still one building. We wanted to create one singular identity for this building. So you see this fine grain, this grid that wraps across the building. But what we saw along Wisconsin was a more formal front. Also, people are less inclined to want balconies and such facing the busier street. So we introduced the more formal front along Wisconsin. Then as we turn the corners, we break that grid down and we start to introduce the balconies. Then finally, as we get to near the lot line, then we've really broken that down and started to activate those corners. And you'll see that in a later view coming up Bethesda. As we move up the building, then you see that same graining. It's intended to really unify the building, create texture, create scale, and then we continue that graining all the way up through the penthouse at the top. We introduce this very light, delicate trellis at the top so that it becomes an expression of the building below and not just something that was tacked on after the fact. So now as you're coming into the city from the south, you really start to see the relationship of that base. The tower is set back, so it's almost hiding itself as you're coming along here, because here's the neighboring building. But then as you get in closer, you really start to see this forced perspective that's created. The setback becomes secondary, and it's really drawing your eye to that great cantilevered corner at the intersection. Here's a fantastic view as you're approaching from Bethesda. You know, we know that the star of the show is the Farm Women's Market. So what we do is we really start to frame that. We don't want to bring that corner all the way down. Rather, that cantilever starts to frame that view and give you something exciting as you're walking up Bethesda heading towards the market. You also see along the back here where we've really broken down that grid, introduced the balconies at the corner, so that you're also seeing activity along this lot line side of the building. And finally, we thought that this view was really nice because it started to speak to that pedestrian scale that's so important here. You've got the three-story base, you've got the setback that responds to the tree canopy height, it responds to the park across the street, and then you get this great cantilevered corner that really starts to create an identity for the building at the urban scale. Ground floor plan, retail, all along Wisconsin, turning the corner onto Bethesda and Miller. Main residential lobby on the more residential side, which is Bethesda. And then we again put that parking and loading off of Miller again, because Miller really acts like more of an alley. All below grade parking here as well. So finally, you can see the two buildings as they relate to the Farm Women's Market. Again, picking up on that horizontality of 7121, that horizontality combined with the verticality then across the street. And we think that although they are unique and interesting buildings, they do speak a similar language. They have some similar moves that really let you know that this was designed holistically and as part of a larger idea. Okay?
I did distribute to everyone Chow Joy's comments, but she had one that she gave me a little bit later, and one of those comments was that the proposed height of the building will cast shadow over the Pacific Green. This is Sector 7121, which makes it less desirable. Provide a solar study to help visualize the impact. So if you could provide that at the next stage, that would be great. And also, Robert wanted to make a comment.
Just very quickly, we don't have anyone from Historic Preservation here. But this site, the Farmland's Market, is a historic site, so any improvements to it, regardless of, you know, what's being proposed, will need to go through that process and be presented to the group and to HPC for their approval. And just want to let everyone know, I'm not so sure that that's really going to change, you know, what you're viewing as part of the buildings here today, but just as a FYI, that's a concurrent process.
Can I ask, are members of the public allowed to speak at this?
Not quite yet. We're going to first have comments and questions from the panel, and then we'll have time at the end of the panel.
Laura, one more point, and I think you know what was shown on the image for the bike lanes mm-hmm. is still under review, mm-hmm. So I'm not quite sure that that's really set in stone at this point. It will be on that side of Willow, but I think in terms of where it's crossing, it's not determined yet.
I'll start on this one too. So if you go to like 10,000 feet and look down basically on this area of Bethesda, you kind of begin to kind of see something begin to develop, and specifically the potential of Bethesda Avenue becoming this really great pedestrian street from Arlington all the way up to Wisconsin. And so this plays a really key role on it. Where it began, the street begins to fall apart right now is Bethesda Avenue between Wisconsin and Woodmont. It's got some gaps in it. It doesn't create the continuous kind of great street that it has. But your projects really have a great role in this. A month ago, we had a debate about a project SLM was showing us about the redevelopment above the Metro site and real doubt as to whether that public space, in fact, will really work. You have to believe this Civic Green, this public space, is going to work. And it'll be, you know, a real signature point to Bethesda. Now, having said all that, I also want to congratulate you guys or this whole team for wanting to take on the Women's Farmers Exchange in redeveloping it and making that commitment to it and the great value that'll have to Bethesda. But I also do have some real concerns about the architecture and massing of both these buildings. For instance, if we start with 17, the one on the right-hand side, 1720, you really have to wonder about just the massing in general, where the geometries, unique geometries coming from, what is really sponsoring it.
you have to kind of think, well, what this building's primary role is relative to the space adjacent to it, is it's a great backdrop. If you look at the south elevation, the south massing diagram, can you flip to that, please? If you look at this and could imagine just turning this building 180 degrees around, that slot that you have in that building lines up almost perfectly with the women's farmer's market. And because of that, I think it would be a lot more complementary to the space, to the massing, to creating the right kind of backdrop to your building. So I wonder whether you've ever really kind of looked at that as a concept.
We thought about...
We did in an earlier massing, but one of the things in the development of this facade was really this moment where we had the balconies and the point of inflection was really meant...
Yeah, but you would get a lot more corners if you flipped it around. And there's such great value with that facade looking down and being associated with the Civic Green that I think you'd even end up with more corners, more balconies, potentially.
My concern with that would be that we would then have all of these units facing the building to the south, and the proximity of that building. It's not the most desirable view. I think the views for the residents inside the building looking north, getting more frontage along that face, as opposed to having a sheer wall on the south side of the site, directly offset from the 7101 project to this building to the south, would be a concern in that scenario, if I'm understanding you correctly.
Yeah, no, you are understanding completely correctly. I just have real concerns about the massing of this building.
What's the spacing between the building to the south and this building?
So we're offsetting above the ground floor by 6 feet, and that building is offset approximately 20 feet above their base. So you can see here, this is about 20 feet, so it works out to be about 26 feet between the buildings.
Okay.
So if I did put that sheer wall 6 feet away from the property line, that would be problematic, I think. But it would probably force rethinking of the overall plan.
Right.
Exactly right.
Yeah. I think there's also, concerns about, again, meeting the design guidelines. I feel like I'm going to be a design guidelines witch. And really compliance with it. You know, where the setbacks that are called for in the design guidelines. I don't see it. It would be helpful, and I said this to the previous presentation that we had an hour ago, if you showed us a zoning diagram that was in full compliance with the guidelines so we can see what the variations are. The other concerns I have is distinguishing the base from the tower above. It's interesting, if you go back, and I don't remember whether it's in the master plan or in the design guidelines, there's a little freehand vignette of the historic building with the new development behind it. It seems to be a lot more successful than what I'm seeing right here now. The last point I'd like to make about this particular building is, again, the retail along Wisconsin. You're pulling the lobby out to Wisconsin, but you have to realize that if that were a restaurant there and it turned and it took the corner, the space on the north side would have great outdoor seating associated with that space there. So which is the priority? Is it the priority to bring the lobby out to Wisconsin or really to reinforce the retail?
It's a challenge that we talked about, actually, the retail at the corner being an activator. One of the things that I've encountered on the other projects in Bethesda is that the fire department will require a front door within a certain distance of the curb facing the street that is the address of the building. And that was a compromise, putting that lobby door facing there as opposed to facing north, which I think is somewhat what was alluded to in design guidelines, is to have sort of residential entrances on the north face. But I think that... and maybe I'm wrong about the fire department, but I do think that they require front doors facing street curbs. And so we looked at that relative to where the retail should be on Wisconsin Avenue as well, and thought that this was the best solution. allowing that lobby to really activate that north side and have drop-offs and be a very gracious environment for the residents.
But if you also think about turning that into a sidewalk with dining on it, you know, we have very hot, humid, miserable days here in the summertime, and being able to sit in the shade may be a real benefit.
I think activate space. We can look at that a little more carefully. I think there are a lot of trends where residential and retail are sort of blurring the line, too, mm-hmm. so I think that might be an opportunity for us to explore that.
I also have other comments on the project across the street, but maybe my fellow colleagues.
So is this the image you were referring to in the design guidelines?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a little misleading because they show the parking lot as green space.
Well,
it will ultimately
may become a park. The other connection I would have, maybe we can talk about the whole kind of landscaping in a minute, but is that connection to what could be a future park in the future. It seems a little weak right now.
Right. Well, I'll follow up on Rod's comments. The last project, I had a little bit of departure from him, but on this project, I think we're probably pretty well aligned here. I again think the step back seems lacking. When I look at this building, it just reads as a massive building, but then when you showed the size of the site, it's such a small site. So I think what would be helpful, I didn't see it in the materials, was the floor plans of the apartments or the units itself, because I'd like to see a more of a step back to kind of differentiate the base from the middle of the building, but I wonder what that would do to the units themselves, if it squeezes them too much where it doesn't make a viable building. So that's helpful information for us to have and understand.
Okay. We have a plan that we can circulate. It's in an appendix. I'm not going to go there right now unless we really feel the need to, but we can circulate that after for both projects.
Is that part of the reason why that step back is such a small step back? Was that
it's
level
part,
floor there?
Part of it. I think there's sort of a balance between the amount of floor area we're trying to achieve, the number of units, and the sort of deference we're paying to the context. On that north side, we had a greater step back above the fourth floor, but we ultimately opted to pull those three floors back rather than in a previous iteration we had this point touching the property line. Mm-hmm. Basically we're sacrificing I think 10 feet or 12 feet of development potential in those lower floors so that we can be more differential to the farm women's market, which reduced the dimension of that step back above that base. So it was sort of a give and take. I think the example shown in the design guidelines shows buildings that go all the way to the property line. I think that gives you about 18 feet.
Yeah, it gets really tight.
So we pulled back an additional, I think, about 13 or 14 feet on the ground floor, and then pulled back out, I think, 6 feet, and then pulled back.
And do you need, actually, leave it on this image just for a second. Do you need that this street off of Wisconsin to access the garage, or can you only access, I mean, could you have a sole access point to the garage from the side street there? I can't remember the name right
now. We have an existing curb cut on Wisconsin Avenue that we would like to take advantage of on that site. Do you want to say anything?
No,
detailed than that. We did look at options for different circulation patterns, but this was the most logical and efficient.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you did kind of pull the base back out and lose that driveway on off of Wisconsin, you'd have a much bigger base, but you wouldn't be squeezing any of those units above.
I mean, the issue with the base pulling out and the tower pulling back, anyone who plans a residential building knows that if you start to get units that are too deep, because your elevator doesn't move, right? So you start to add depth to units that doesn't allow light to penetrate into the units. So the deeper we make those units in the base, they're low in the building, they aren't getting as much natural light anyway. It becomes a hard sell and hard to plan in terms of residential planning. So I think we tried to strike a balance between those two things. And I mean, if it helps, I can circulate back to the plans. They are here, right? I think so.
Yeah. Next.
Bear with me.
Sort of fast forward.
Something's not working. don't know what I touched, but I touched something. I created a problem.
But I think that question that you raised concerning all that hardscape to the south of the market building is problematic, because everything to the north, east, and west is landscaped. Now we have a hardscape, all because we've introduced that as a kind of a shared street off of Wisconsin. And it seems to me if we could just deal with the Willow Lane access to the surface and parking, you all of a sudden have freed that all up for a landscape solution to a problem that now is addressed by hardscape.
Is Willow Lane one-way east?
Yes.
It would work if it were two-way.
You really have to drive stuff back in.
Because otherwise you're going to route everybody through the neighborhood.
But it's wide enough. Willow could be two-way.
It could be two-way. Yeah. It was. Yeah.
I think there'd be a challenge, too, if you just had, say, the back entrance that you're talking about, because remember this is going to serve 7121 in terms of service and resident parking,
right.
But it's also going to serve the FWM building in terms of service, and it's not a great dimension back there to begin with, so I could imagine there could be some level of clutter, I'll say that way.
Well, it's just a driveway.
But if it were, even if you just narrowed it down to a 10-foot wide road, right now it looks like a lot wider than that.
We're looking at two-way traffic on that. So that I think there are potential, I think we discussed where Willow Lane may be closed for events by the city or by the county. So I think that if this was our only point of access, it's a one-way street and it's potentially closed sometimes for events. That being said, I could see an event happening in this portion of the hardscape. That would, if we maintain this two-way access from Wisconsin,
right.
That frees that up for potential events, farmers markets or
anything. Quite frankly, and we really do see this as more than just an alley. It's hardscape for sure, but it could be used for other events.
But you also currently have a curb cut at the south. West portion of the site for the existing retail, right?
Yeah.
So couldn't you, to Carl's point, if you could move the parking and the loading onto your other existing curb cut, that would free that up to be more of a landscape complement to the overall design of the farm market.
We don't have a curb cut on 7121.
That's
what I'm confused about.
There's a little pedestrian corridor that goes through there.
There used to be, because that was a pull-in, right? There used to be. But if you traded one for the other, that wouldn't necessarily. I think that's something worth discussing. If it made an overall benefit for this significant part, and it seemed like from your ground level design, you're sort of bringing the folks in the northeast corner, and you're bringing them down around the back anyway, so it wouldn't seem to cause you that much difficulty. You just come in the southwest corner, and it seems like it would just provide a lot of benefit.
So you're saying this corner here?
Yes.
That's the touch screen.
The touch. We're at concept plans. Something to...
And making that two ways as opposed to just one way all the way through, and using Willow Lane as the west movement or east movement, I guess. So it's either right or left or left or right. You might achieve a landscape solution in there as opposed to a hardscape, all hardscape. But I think Rod points out as almost a necessity of all these projects, you have to have a strict setback massing as a point of departure for these projects. Because, as somebody pointed out earlier, we're getting cantilever RS, in Bethesda, right? Every building is trying to set back and then all of a sudden cantilever back out. So we've got all this sort of non-supported undercarriage in our buildings, where all of a sudden we're looking up at the underside of architecture. I think it's something to think about.
Yeah, I think it would be very helpful to have a diagram of what it would look like
with a strict adherence to the design guidelines with the setbacks, and then juxtapose that with what you're proposing and kind of explain why the departure is necessary.
Sure.
I mean, that would be helpful for us to understand.
Absolutely. It's actually something we've done those diagrams and have talked to staff in previous meetings about that, showing how really tight these actually get, and to the point where if you adhere strictly to every single step back requirement, then above like the fifth floor, you just don't have viable floor plates anymore. So it's something that we could absolutely share with you to show that story.
I think as an overall project, and for me personally, I'm very supportive of the reuse of the women's farm market. And obviously, these buildings need to be viable to make that happen.
Sure.
So I don't want to kill the project by any means. I just want to help understand the design.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Exactly
what you want. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. We don't want to kill the design, but I mean, I'm just being more basic. I don't think the massing on this one works. I really don't.
Both? Or?
Well, we'll get to that one in a minute, but the 1720.
7121. Sorry. Yeah. The one on the right. It's an odd number, I suppose, even number. I mean, I personally understand why you've oriented the inset of the south facade of the building to change to 7101, which we call affectionately the dark paper building. If you were only within 6 feet of the property line, it has glazing problems too.
Right, so we're stepping back above that base 6 feet. It's not meant to be all glazing. We also introduce balconies at the corners so that in plan that becomes something that's, it will be a wall that we treat with different materials, and we will probably have some spandrel glazing with fire rating behind it so that we can create something that isn't just a blank wall.
But I'm also sympathetic with what I'm hearing, particularly from Ron, about that north facade. I think you've made a valiant effort in terms of your angle, particularly at the top, but the perception is still going to be a pretty monolithic, long facade that does not seem to diverge from the market house as much as it could. I don't have an answer. Perhaps it's a materiality change, or maybe it's... Maybe there is some way to indent.
Again, actually, leave it there. Go back and leave it there for a second. Imagine drawing a line from the historic building right through your project for those two long longitudinal lines. See how that notch just lines up with that? And then imagine that notch really on the other side of the building.
It could be a both and. It doesn't have to be an either or.
Well, that's right. Sure.
But there are inherent problems on the south side. That's just interesting.
That's
from their standpoint, that's extremely important.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so I guess I'm,
Well, maybe you
borrow say either or, not maybe not either or, but a little bit of both.
Then maybe you borrow some of the setback you've established on the north side and pull the building a little bit further in.
I think we would then result in less floor area. It's one practical. Result of that.
If you pull the building,
you say move it on.
Move the building a little further north.
Push the building further north, closer to the farmland market.
Maybe one of the compromises. If you get a better relationship between the historic building and the new building, maybe that's one of the compromises that needs to be made.
We can look at that.
Narrow that road to like a 10-foot wide road instead. How wide is that? Maybe 20 feet.
It's actually the clear road itself is 20 feet, but then you have pavement on each side.
Sure.
Of it.
Right. About 12 and a half on the south, and I can't remember on the north.
5 or 6 on the north. I mean, it's a walk.
How far back is your upper facade from the property line?
On the north side. 15 feet minimum, and it sort of inflects to be more.
This is above the base.
Above the base, yeah. So our property line is, we're setting back at the inflection point 15 feet and then angled on east and west sides, so it increases. Mm-hmm. And that was a dimension that we understood from the very beginning, from the design guidelines. At this site in particular, I think there's a little flexibility in terms of step backs above the base, given certain considerations. This one was a hard and fast. Your tower will be 15 feet from the property line. That's why we set it.
So, that brings me to my next line of thinking, which is, mm-hmm. if the facade is already back where it needs to be in compliance, and whether you have a lower piece that comes out or not, does that really make any difference?
I mean, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think that this, you know, this element that creates the covered walk, I think what you're saying is maybe this point that pushes back out on the second.
Well, I'm not even sure it should be pushed out. I'm saying effectively exactly. The upper facade is back where it needs to be. Whether there's an offset at the base or not, does that really make any difference from an urban design standpoint and in compliance?
I do think it does, actually. I think that this really... sets a scale. I think maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I think what you're saying is maybe
No, I don't mind the setback. What I'm saying is you've reduced that the lower part setback,
right.
And consequently you are finding yourself not in compliance with the guidelines in terms of amount of setback right. From that facade back.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is in reality, the real thing is where is the upper facade line?
Right.
You seem to be meeting that in my understanding correctly.
Right.
So the fact that it's a lesser setback by your choice doesn't mean that the guidelines are not being met.
I would agree with you, yes. No. I think we changed...
Anybody else disagreed? Do you see what I'm saying?
We pulled the base in, essentially. Sort of, I'm saying the same thing differently.
That's great.
But
I think
it's
a noble reason.
How long is that facade, the north facade?
I believe it's about 175 feet.
Frontage.
That's a long facade.
Right.
And so you've broken it up and flected out as opposed to in.
I hear what you're saying.
Right. And so there are lots of different ways of dealing with that 200 foot long facade. Carving, as was pointed out, is a possibility, creating more corners, etc. I think that would help
mm-hmm.
because right now I think it's very impressive in terms of its presentation, you know, to the north.
I think there's a challenge to balance those things with sort of did this vertical expression on the corner with that inset balcony. We carved in this sort of angular piece at the center inflection point with this projected horizontal element, which is not just a slab cover. It's that dimension we're showing here is approximately 30 inches, I think. And then we sort of introduce this curved element to really reinforce the sort of fluidity of that shape. I hear what you're saying. I think we did try to achieve some of those things without making the building too much of a hodgepodge.
And I think your balconies in this situation are identifying a zone that does, in fact, relate to the park. Not a recess, but it's a zone that's clear. Am I reading this correctly, that 7101 projects much further towards Wisconsin Avenue than your building?
Much, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know the dimension. I don't know if you guys know it, but sidewalk's about 7 feet there. We're at 25.
So you're on Wisconsin Avenue, you're not doing the setback that normally required, even though you're back further than the Ford building?
Yeah, we setback from the curb is 25 feet. And then,
so you're meeting that, right?
The term step back above the base, sort of on this facade facing Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We took a look at that carefully with a few different options above that fourth floor, and really the portion of this vertical element was something we thought was much better than having that step back. We do have that sort of reveal zone below the projection, which we thought achieved the intent of that.
Once again, not that I would say 7101 is any ideal, but it is there. It's probably not going anywhere. So you're automatically getting a much more substantial setback from Wisconsin. And in this situation, I would also question whether an additional setback at that point accomplishes a great deal in terms of the goal of urban variety. I think the corner piece works well. It does go back to Carl's statement of where being handling the death in every instance, and I don't have an answer for this. I just point out the fact that it is a schematic that is being used, and it does create the idea of overhang can be good or cannot be good. And I think if the whole downtown area is a series of straight up projections
right.
in the back, then it gets a little boring. I think you handled it well, but I think that does leave some room for interpretation in terms of whether it's really desirable from a guideline standpoint.
I think there's justifications to bringing towers to the ground in places where towers should come to the ground. You see that on the right-hand side of your project. I think the guidelines are there for reasons. We keep making exceptions to the guidelines. We haven't seen a project, I think, yet that's truly complied with the guidelines. I think the part that's projecting out should be pushed back in. Because there's such great value of those apartments associated with the green space below it, they don't necessarily need also then the view down Wisconsin Avenue. And that's what you're getting out of it.
We're getting the views.
So the value of the cantilever is the ability to look south down on Wisconsin Avenue, right, from those units?
Well, I think that's
part of it. Or is it an architectural gesture?
I mean, I think there's also an architectural gesture. This building sort of, I will not use the term gateway, but it is one of the first tall buildings, one of the first buildings you'll encounter coming from the south to the north, and this important civic green. I think this marks a unique place as you come into Bethesda, coming from the south, and that's one of the reasons we looked at this as a framing element for that space. So it was more of a civic gesture than an interior architecture. Marketing perspective from the residential units. That's an added benefit, yes. It also sponsors sort of a balcony just to the south of it, which really works well with the geometries.
Yeah, but you could still get that balcony in and you could push that back.
Sure. But I think the larger urban gesture of sort of marking this as a place at a relatively high level, so it's not not having a detrimental effect on pedestrians, is something that we thought was appropriate given the site.
Great. Let's just talk about the whole idea of gateways for a second. You know, what we see coming in Bethesda is some real signature buildings. And you have to argue, does every building need to be a signature building? Do some buildings really need to play a supporting role? And I would say both this building and the building across the street are more in the supporting role because there are two signature buildings within a couple blocks of here, the Apex building and the redevelopment of the police station are genuine signature buildings. So I think this building is building across the street, well, part of the supporting cast, helping to define, activate the civic green there, but maybe a bit quieter.
As a somewhat esoteric side note, somebody mentioned the fact that towers often should come down and meet the ground in a way that is positive and clear. And once again, it's the moment interruptus here where this is stopping at the fifth floor and not carrying down. And purely for thought, would it be interesting if that actually came all the way down and met the ground? Maybe it became transparent at the ground level when you walked under it.
You see it on the right hand side.
All these balconies through the sort of center part of the north facade, if they came all the way down, you'd have that inset that was talked about in terms of a reference to the market building.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the base.
That could be, and then you could have the base to either side, but you'd have that one move coming all the way down, which would then relate to the scale of the market building and signal entrance. So that'd be the knitting together of, you know, top and bottom, basin and shaft.
But of course, what I'm talking about is a projected point.
Right.
Right. And you see on the right-hand side, as someone just mentioned, that same. And there, I listened to your explanation looking east on Bethesda Avenue and opening up this and that view is very compelling. So in that instance, maybe it works better.
Yeah.
Do they both need it? Let's back up a little bit. Do they both need to do the same gesture?
This gesture of the projection. I think they do it in very different ways, to be honest. I think that on 7126, it's part of a larger, and Jim, feel free to interject because it's a little bit more in your hand.
Sure.
But I think that one is more of a singular volume. This, I think, is more of a composition of multiple volumes. I think this this expression of the horizontality of the base. It really differentiates this project, I think, from what's happening on the other one. I think of the other one as almost like a block of wood that was almost like a what do you call it, where you miter two pieces of wood together in Japanese joinery, and this one is less of that sort of singular element.
I think at the same time, though, as you start to look at, right now, the curve of that reads as a solid curve, and you have the sort of recessed balconies in the middle. I think as you start to reassess that per the other comments, I think that corner gesture will take on, the question will be slightly different. And so I don't know that that will be the answer when you start to look at how that facade that faces the farm women's market really wants to feel. It may not be the right answer.
Since you guys presented this as all one big project, should we talk about the project across the street?
Sure. Oh, you're ready to. I know you are.
And, I mean, moving forward, we can divide this up if it makes it more manageable for you to sort of review as separate projects. I mean, they are working on them simultaneously. They are both working at the farm women's market. I would just propose that if that moving forward is helpful.
And they are separate concept plans and separate sketch plans. So they're all, I mean, they're, you know, joined together for purposes of the farm women's market improvements because it takes two entities really to be able to do everything we're envisioning. But they are separate concept plans. They are separate sketch plans.
Go for it.
Okay. Different than the first project we talked about, this one I happen to actually like the kind of very subtle articulation there. And the skin above the base could be really elegant, plays the kind of supporting role that I think a building in this position needs to play. I think the bigger concern really is just the pure bulk of this. The fact that, again, no real genuine attempt to meet the setbacks. That if you did meet the setbacks, I think you would see a much less bulky building.
Step backs. Make sure we're saying that.
Sorry,
it's hard
to intermingle the words. Yeah. Step backs and step backs.
Yeah,
we don't see the step backs, we see the cantilever. I think the reaction as part of the Bethesda area representative is just the sheer mass of this building that I think could be overcome if you honored the setbacks. I think the other concern is the base. The base just needs a lot of development. Again, looking at Bethesda Avenue as potentially becoming this great pedestrian street from Arlington up to this property up here, then there's a celebratory role that that retail, particularly the corner of Wisconsin and Bethesda, can play. And right now, it just kind of looks like the base wasn't really kind of developed, didn't pay any attention to it.
Sure. I mean, I think that we need to acknowledge the stage that we're in. This is concept, so sure. Awnings and retail signage and stuff haven't made their way into this. But I think that as we continue to add texture and scale to those storefronts, I think that'll really start to come to life.
I think it's more than that, because you have this framework and this grid above, which implies something that's more massive, et cetera. And then you have this very light, glassy base, which somehow doesn't hold up, this grid, which we kind of like because of the texture. So we want the base, it would seem to me, to be a lot more substantial in order to
it's interesting. It's a fine line because I think that this area, D.C., Bethesda, I think there's a lot of brutalist architecture that scares people, and it's often because these heavy elements are coming all the way to the ground. And we saw this really as an opportunity to introduce transparency and really sort of open up that inside-outside relationship at the sidewalk level here.
But also look at it in a different way. So for this view, looking at the historic building there, and imagine instead of that bill of your residential floors can move over, step back 10 feet like it should be, it would be a different approach, much different approach to the our development of the base.
I concur with that. I think I'd love to see that. I'm not as opposed to the transparency on the base personally, but I'd like to see the step back. But the same comment with the last project, I do understand that this is an even smaller site. It's 14,000 square feet.
Yeah.
What would that do to the floor plans?
So, sure.
You know, on the alternative, I think Chris or Heather, you guys are getting additional height here, so theoretically that should make up for the squeeze of the floor plans.
But it's a squeeze. I mean, it's a squeeze to the point that it's just not a viable quarter wall depth. It's like 15 feet or something. So it's something where it's such a deep step back on these two sides because they're such prominent. It's the Urban Boulevard, and I forget the name of the formal name of Bethesda, but they require such deep step backs. That we've tried to gesture that, and we've tried to sculpt the building in such a way where we're actually creating a larger setback as opposed to bringing that face all the way out to the sidewalk and then stepping back. So I think that we've tried to use gestures and combine gestures in order to make truly a better pedestrian space. And to the point of the cantilevers, it's interesting because I think that the cantilevers, in much the same way as step backs work, the goal is to create something that breaks your line of sight across this entire tower. I feel like often in these smaller scale areas, these sort of 15, 20 story buildings, I think that what you often see is when these buildings do come down and meet corners, in a case like this, if we were to bring this all the way down, it would be relentless. And so as you're walking along that sidewalk, you're seeing this massive thing the entire way, as opposed to now, you do have this more intimate feel that the cantilever is creating above you. It's similar to a tree canopy. I mean, really, all of these views, Bethesda is such a lush city anyway, all of these views are kind of fake because you're never going to see above the tree canopy except maybe in wintertime or something. So this idea of seeing these buildings in their entirety doesn't really exist. We do this to show you guys a holistic picture, but there is an intimacy that these cantilevers start to create.
Did you ever see what the largest dimension of the cantilever was?
I think it's like 8 feet is the diagonal from point to point, I believe. And then in much the same way, then it angles back to a negative 8 feet then at the other corner to create that step back.
The landscape plan on Bethesda, or just a canopy street.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I don't see any trees along.
Oh, sure. There's
just for
I did see a site plan where you
had
there is. We've got an overall rendering.
It was towards the end of the letter.
We're sure it's that. There we go.
So on both sites, there
was
And in fact, we've got full planted edges along Bethesda as well, which really helps to make this a more intimate pedestrian feel.
It'll be fully compliant. Yep.
Do you have a typical floor layout for the 7126?
Yes. Yeah, so again, here's where you start to see if we were to truly, that core is running all the way down. The parking forms a loop like this around it, so that core can't go anywhere. So once you start to set back all of these surfaces, I always do that every time I'm here.
But those cutouts are balconies, yeah?
The cutouts are balconies, right.
I mean, it seems like you could shift the core
to the west.
5 feet south?
Shift the core five feet to
the left.
Right. Even to the left. I mean, so your stair becomes an issue, but I mean, you could. It's so I don't know that your core is as immovable as you're suggesting. I mean, I think, you know, if I would. I mean, so you're at concept plan, and I think you are hearing the panel say that the cantilever is not a winning solution. So I think to the extent that you could shift the core even 5 feet, whether it's to the west or to the south, starts to give you flexibility in ways to respond to the comments.
I think it's something, I think that we need to be careful to not throw the baby out with the bathwater to say on this. I think that the cantilever provides a framing. It truly responds to language in the design guidelines. And so I think that there are alternate options. But, you know, in much the same way that this facade, this facade starts to work here, I think that you also don't want these buildings to disappear. You don't want your city to feel like it's a three-story
base. Buildings or make brutalist buildings. I think what you're hearing is a lot of resistance to the design you're showing. And without a recommendation from this panel and a favorable recommendation from staff and a favorable decision from the board, you have neither baby nor bathwater. And so I'm just suggesting that you want to, I think your approach wants to be more flexible than what you seem to be suggesting. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'd also throw in with that, Elsa, is some of the reasons these buildings end up the way they are is because we need the FAR to make Farm Women's Market happen. We're paying a significant amount of money to bring that to the county.
Absolutely.
And so we have taken some flexibility with the design guidelines. And so if we throw baby and bathwater and Farm Women's Market out, you're not going to get that civic space.
Of course.
So I'm asking for some. We've talked on numerous occasions.
And this is a design
because of that.
Right. This is a design question, and design is an iterative process. And you are here to get comments on what's working and what's not working. And so it's not. I just want to make sure that this is a conversation, and that you know we're not all stuck. You guys, this is concept plan.
Agreed.
You guys will go back. You'll revisit the design based on the feedback you're getting, and you know, you'll incorporate that as you move forward. You'll be back here at sketch plan. You'll be back here at site plan. I mean, we have a lot more of this conversation. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page, that it's a conversation that we're just at the beginning of and we have a way to go.
Yeah, I was providing, you had asked earlier, why are we deviating in some ways? And some of that is because of the Farm Women's Market and economics we don't need to go into necessarily, but in order for us to make that happen, we have some significant challenges, and so the FAR, we are trying to squeeze FAR out in a way that allows it to be us to have viable projects because of some of the conditions associated with the Farm Women's Market. So I'll just put that out there, and if people want to have additional information on that, I'm happy to talk through about how that works. So.
One important practical consideration for the planning of these buildings is the parking that goes below grade. And that really is does establish some of the geometrics for where we can establish vertical cores, because that structure goes all the way down to the very lowest level. And so, especially on 7126, that core is very much, the location is like within a hair's breadth of making the parking not function. So that was Jim.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think
we hear you. We're not just here to defend a design. We're here to listen and iterate and adjust, and so we will do so.
Are the garage floor plans in the concept plan?
I don't believe that we brought
those. So I think that if those are that essential, we need to see those as part of the concept plan, because you know we can't. I don't think it's a good argument for any of us to say that the parking garage is, you know, I mean, I understand that it's an important factor, but you're in the parking lot district. You're not required to provide parking. I mean, so I think that we need to. I think that's something we need to be able to look at and comment on.
Sure.
So if those aren't already in the package, please make sure we have them.
Yeah, definitely.
Can I ask a question, Elza? Because I think you know you said that. We're hearing that folks don't like that design, but I think we did hear some positive things. I think Rod and Carl both mentioned the grid nature of the building. So I just wanted to say it seemed a little negative.
I don't think it's about liking or not liking the design. I think it's about how well the design works to answer the question. And so I think we need to make sure that we're all asking the same question and that we're answering it. So I don't know that it's, but for 7121, I think we heard a number of panel members say that the massing is problematic, which is a significant comment for a building. And I think that we heard on 7126 that while some of the things on the upper part are working in terms of how the skin is being laid out, I think the transition, you know, what I'm hearing is that the transition between and the relationship between the base and the middle, nobody's talked about the top, but the base in the middle is problematic in terms of how it relates to the street. So I think, you know, we just need to be all on the same page and make sure that we're hearing the same thing.
Right.
I don't know if it's necessarily about like or dislike. It's
yeah.
about
well, that's
how,
what I was
how
trying
well
to
it's being
distill
answered.
The comments. So I just wanted to understand the things that people like and just the things that we're getting the comments on.
And
so
everybody loves that you guys are doing the farmer's market,
mm-hmm.
right?
I
mean,
we do too. We're
everybody loves it. That's great.
And I think the skin of the building, you seem to have some positive feelings about how the skin was being articulated in the one across the street and so forth. But what I'm hearing is the design advisory panel essentially saying you don't want a subtle homage to the idea of a base with a middle that's stepped back. You want a very readable, real base that is farther out and a middle that is stepped back, which is, again, I think you've tried to sort of wrestle with that in different ways, but I think what I'm hearing them say is they want it pretty directly and clearly a base that projects and a middle that steps back. Of both buildings.
Well, at the very least, we want to see what the ground rules were in terms of the setbacks.
Okay.
And so where we're departing from, and then where the lead can be given.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yep.
That's the sort of standard.
Mm-hmm.
We can't, we need to see the images of these moves so that we can evaluate relative to those moves, the answer.
And I think that, you know, just to kind of pull this together, what I'm hearing, that's the purpose of why we're here. We're here to take a lot of these comments on board, give them some consideration, and figure out how to wrestle with them in the context of our goals, which I think is well understood, is trying to find the right balance with this puzzle. The whole thing works together. The economics are essential. The floor area is essential to try to make the economics work. Parking is part of that. It's a big jigsaw puzzle that we're all working on. So I think the expectation moving forward would be, being that we are a concept plan, we have a couple of other steps to complete in this process where we're going to get some additional comments and take all of that on board and figure out how the next iteration is able or isn't able to respond to some of these.
Should we talk about the landscape on this? This place all of the center.
Do it.
Did you want to say anything else about the building across the street?
Which 71 before you came, we talked about 21.
No, the one that you were just talking about.
Across the street.
I mean, are you happy with, they have a base middle top, are you happy with the top? Are you?
Oh, good point. Yeah.
You know, what do you think about that sort of, which I'll be up front, which I like, which is that sort of zipper down the middle as it goes all the way to the base and this breaks the building up into sort of the two chunks. What do you think about some of those?
So from the base up, if you ignore the issue of step back. Right? I like the skin. I think from the base up, the articulation is nice. I think it feels appropriate to me. I'm just concerned about the bulk of the building in general. And the fact that I think you would relieve bulk if you in greater compliance with the step back. I did wonder about, in reviewing it in advance, about the fact that you have that higher element going on, oriented on Bethesda Avenue, not on Wisconsin, and a greater mass on Wisconsin with the stepping down to Bethesda. But then I looked at your pool and I realized, well, you've done it that way because of solar orientation from the pool upstairs. So.
You're right. And the proportions along Wisconsin seem much nicer if we don't make the larger one wider as well. The larger one wants to be a little thinner.
It's also stepping up from the Solaire to the south. Mm-hmm. These two sites are the first tall sites, I think, within the rezoning, which is a consideration that played heavily into our thinking about the articulation of the massing.
By tall site, you mean
from the south.
Yeah, coming from the south. I think it's at those, the maximum heights go down to about 95 feet on the block to our south.
No, that's okay.
Just a couple of minor comments, and I think they'll probably come up more in the historic review than anything else. Mm-hmm. The asphalt shingles that are on the roof right now, is that the original material?
No idea. No.
I'm guessing that the vintage of the building, it was probably slate.
I think it was. The architect who's working on that building is not able to attend today, but
it's 1932. I guess.
It's 1932.
Yeah, those are not the original shingles, and we are looking at a slate.
Okay.
1932 was the building. The other issue that I'd like to address is, and I think we've talked about with the street, is ultimately the parking lot may become a park in the future. I think that many in the neighborhood would like to see that, obviously. And
the one to the east you're talking about.
Yeah. And there is quite a grade change between the property and the parking lot, and it seems to be kind of like a secondary stair you have at the end of that road, the one on the south, that seemed to be stronger to make that connection in the future or build the flexibility that allow that to be a stronger connection.
No, that makes sense, because it is about 6 feet or so.
Right. The other point would be, and I realize and I'm probably deviating from discussion of the park for a moment, is the fact that if that parking lot does become a park, how does that facade really engage with the park? And that goes back to the architecture. I don't know whether it's brick texture or something more than that.
The facade of
the backside. Yeah.
No, the backside of the residential building.
Residential.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one where we were looking at sort of texture and material and scale of that. It is our loading function there.
Right.
So we really think, and it's possible to. It's only going to end up being about 12 feet tall. There will be a park there as opposed to the full 20 feet of building height. But I think there are great things we could do with texture and material to make that not read as an ugly blank wall. It will be a solid wall. Right?
And then one other just minor footnote. I live in the immediate vicinity of this. Those two sycamore trees, they are great. One of them doesn't look real healthy to me.
No, they've got to be assessed, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, to have something of that size out of the gate, I think it deserves a little bit of
a look. Maybe an arborist needs to come out.
Yeah, absolutely need to be looked at.
It'll help when you take the asphalt away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt, right?
I think my concerns are mostly with the hardscape. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's an awful lot of hardscape encircling this. It seems curious that we'd have to do that today, to have the entire property encircled in a very limited use streetscape. This seems strange that they can't, one or both can't be a little bit less pavement oriented and a little bit more driving across porous brick, etc.
Sure.
It just seems very curious. I mean, how much use are they really going to be getting?
I think the question really is, can it be a one-way loop rather than a two-way road in both situations? And given that Willow Lane goes east. It would have to be a one-way loop going sort of in Willow Lane,
down,
back out,
and then back out.
Wisconsin. Yeah.
And
that seems possible.
Could you get Willow Lane converted back to a two-way from Bethesda to the end of the property?
That seems logical because all there is a parking lot back there.
If it was a one-way loop, it could be. I mean, it still needs to be wide enough.
Yeah.
You'll still have loading and so forth, but it could go down.
Cut it down to 12 feet. Fairly significant.
It could go down.
I do think Willow Lane is controlled at some point by Chevy Chase, not necessarily by the county DOT portion, but it may be backed up by 47, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, those are all considerations, but that's one that you probably have to put in there as well.
I can take that back.
Can you talk about the material of the shared use space street and the alley as far as bituminous or paper?
We're kind of messing around with that right now, but likely it would have to be some sort of, I'll call it a specialty pavement. I would certainly think that it wouldn't be pavers or something, so it isn't just asphalt, right?
I mean, that's important.
Yeah. No, I do think, and I guess I'm the contrarian in the room, that there is an opportunity there, and I agree, you know, if we can squeeze it down. But I think it could be a very nice element that serves a functional and a practical reality for this site.
I mean, we're experiencing shared use streets now for the first time in our area, as in the wharf and other areas, and so far it's working okay.
Yeah.
So I think it's something we should not.
No, yeah, I think there's an opportunity there, absolutely.
And this will have limited traffic. I mean, it's not like a street, it's more of a drive.
Right.
And I mean, we have the parking below grade and the service for the 7121 building servicing the Farm Women's Market. Those things need to function, but I don't see this being heavily trafficked, especially at non-peak hours. Mm-hmm. I think when everyone's leaving to go to work and or coming back from work with their cars, it might be a little bit.
But what you don't want is people standing there,
cluttering up, yeah.
And right. Oh, I'm just waiting for my mm-hmm. tenant to come down and join, etc.
Yeah, we need it to be clear that
that's. That would be the problem, because all of a sudden you see it as a resource. Oh, I can hover there and run in and get my Starbucks, and then I can run
free
back
parking.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why we provided this sort of area adjacent to the entrance to the lobby of 7121, where it's a lay-by lane that then feeds directly into the parking. But I think we would want to discourage cars from being there for more than a short moment.
Are you required to do any ADA to the parking lot from?
We would definitely, we would absolutely want to work that in to get up that grade. Yeah.
Yeah. I would try to get a ramp or something in that zone.
It's certainly a lot easier on kind of the north piece there, because it's almost flush there. It's not, but on the bottom, you know, like I said, we do have probably 6 or so feet that we'd have to probably have to put a waggle back through there.
Yeah, I would encourage not to do a lot of ramping, because those get very gigantic.
No, I know. I mean, that's the
spot up on Willow Lane. As you get close to Willow Lane, you can probably get maybe an improvement even just to the sidewalk.
You think so? Yeah. ADA is just one of those things that never worked,
And then you get railings and all sorts of.
Well, that's the thing. If you go over 5% on the thing, then you have railings and it starts to,
it becomes a real structure.
Right.
Completely irrelevant comment. You said food truck, and I don't think a food truck is going to be successful. It's a truck.
No, absolutely. There is one on site right now, though.
There's one for years.
Yeah.
Just one guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kid you not.
That's with a lot of other vendors.
But that's the thing. I mean, if all these kind of act in concert, and get a kind of a critical mass, that would be the idea.
I just would be worried about it in a normal situation.
I kind of was caught off guard by it as well, but it's there, it's been there, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's way in the back, I mean, it stands right now. But there is that parking in front of it, so it starts to, there's challenges there.
It was there before it was fashionable to have food trucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time. They usually
buried up to the axles, too, yeah.
All right, are there any other comments and questions from the panel? Would you be willing to have about 10 minutes of, or up to 10 minutes of public comment?
Okay. I'm Naomi Stinrant. I live nearby, and I'm also Vice President of CBAR. And I'd like to note that CBAR supports the written comments that were submitted by the town of Chevy Chase, which I hope you all have. Now speaking for myself, I'm really not happy about the two driveways, and I'd like to throw my support, if you will, to Elsa's suggestion that the entrance for the loading zone and the garage be at the southwest corner. I think the driveways cut the green space off from everything else that's going on, and I think if there is eventually a park where the parking lot is, then they cut it off from that too. think there are also safety issues. I know that shared streets are being used many places, but this is, it's not really a street. The driveways are to service the building. I don't see them as a street. I'm also concerned about the what appears to be the diminishment of green space or potential green space at the farm market. The driveways are both taken from the farm market property, if I understand correctly. The sidewalks, while it's great that they're being widened, all of that cuts into the green space that's available. And I think the community has seen this as probably the prime opportunity to have a broad green area if the parking lot is converted and a real community gathering space. And I'm not sure that this accomplishes that. I would ask what percentage of the property, what's the square footage that's actually green space as you have it now? I also would very much like to see some recognition of the historical nature and why it's historical of the building. I don't think a plaque in the corner is enough. I'm sure you've read up on the history of the building, and I think that needs to be recognized in some way. I do wonder who's going to program activities in this building. Your submission says or around the building, your submission says the building itself is going to be retail or restaurant or something like that, which removes it from community use. And way back during the work sessions on the Bethesda plan, then Commissioner Mary Wells Harley voiced a suggestion that this building could be used for, say, a youth farmers market and other community activities of that sort. Retail doesn't really do that, so I'm disappointed that this will be retail. I don't have time for other people, so I think that sums up the comments, but I would be interested in the square footage of the green space and what proportion of the property that is.
Thanks for this long conversation here. These two projects, I think, lead me to think of what President Eisenhower said was, when you get into an insoluble problem or a problem that's causing a lot of issues, that it's better to scale back, to broaden the view of what the problem is, what the challenge is. I see the primary gateway benefit to the public and the value here is in the Bethesda Avenue, Willow Lane, crossing Wisconsin Avenue functionality, and how the streets, where they're offset, really interfere both with car traffic flow on Wisconsin Avenue and with pedestrian crossings and the habitability of that environment at those four street corners. I see that as the primary issue, and the primary power of this location is in the street corner potential of this place, rather than the Woman's Farm Market and the issues or the opportunities with Bethesda Avenue. I think that these, we're focusing inwardly in too much detail. We need to step back a little bit and look at the power of that. As a cyclist and transit advocate, I've been frustrated that the Bethesda Avenue separated bikeway facility that connects the Capitol Christian Trail from the Georgetown side to the Silver Spring side has never been built. The tunnel and the new tunnel are no solutions. There are many people, like my former girlfriend, who will not use a tunnel, for fear of her safety. And this pathway also provides the gateway opportunity for all that cyclist traffic, all that pedestrian traffic. It's the way you access all these features that you are selling. It's not through other routes. So I see that the four street corners to the north of Willow Lane, to the other side of Wisconsin Avenue, that street corner, and to your project at 7127 or 26, that those four corners really should dominate. And as was said earlier, it's the open space rather than the buildings that should defines, that should move what the projects do and how they're designed. They should be more primary. So I think that if you would make Bethesda and Willow into one street crossing perpendicularly to Wisconsin, you would shorten the pedestrian exposure on Bethesda Avenue going along Wisconsin, and you would eliminate the complications and the problems of the traffic movements here. And you could create some really really great gateway effect with new buildings and with that newly designed intersection. I think this is the power of urban architecture and buildings should be to enhance the grid and make the flow better. And I think you can solve problems and create a special effect if you treat the informal spaces as the public realm. When I look at the farm market, as much as I like it, I look at something that is a park or an experience for some people. The sidewalks and the streetscapes are experiences for everybody. It's the diversity that they attract and enhance and honor that you have the opportunity to include in your project.
Deborah Vollmer, and let me say who I am. I live in the town of Chevy Chase. I'm on my town's long-range planning committee, but I'm not speaking for the town or for the long-range planning committee. I'm speaking as an individual who has grown up in the town where I'm living, and I have I very much have a sense of historic preservation. And I think we're losing too much in Bethesda. And I think, you know, a lot's been said about the relationship between these two projects and the Farm Women's Market. Well, the relationship is these two buildings overshadow and overpower this historic site. And these two buildings, one across from the other, create a canyon effect on Wisconsin Avenue. And I think it's, and speaking again as an individual, not for the town, I am appalled. I think it's a horrible design. I think the massing is just terrible. I would like to see the Farm Women's Market preserved, refurbished to some extent, but kept basically the way it is. If historically it had slate roofs, put slate roofs on. Don't put a bump out. That's a change of the historical character of the building. There are old timers such as myself who remember how Bethesda was. Too much of it's going away. I'd also like to note that with respect to the two sites, there may be historic architecture on those sites. It may not be as visible as the Tudor shops between Walsh and Leland, a block away. But there, where the thrift shop is, that was a part of a little shopping center. That was where Whittlesey's drugstore was, and the Lakeview Market, and Rogers Toy Store. And most of that shopping center's gone, but part of it's still there. And I think that's historic, and maybe no one's looked at it from that perspective, but I think it's important to get a historic preservation expert to look at that. And also across the street, the Starbucks. Okay, a lot of people don't want to see the Starbucks go. That used to be, I'm not sure if it was a yard goods store or a stationery store, around the corner where you go down the stairs and there's that little kind of nook downstairs. That was there when I was a child. It wasn't a psychic's shop. It wasn't a jewelry store. That came later. It was a lending library and a bookstore. I think there's history there. And I think this development is going too far and too fast. I think the location is horrendous. Reference to Willow Lane, oh, there's only a parking lot back there. No, there's the town of Chevy Chase. There's a vibrant community of residential, single-family residential homes. people who drive, people who need places to park. Oh, a lot of us walk to the Farm Women's Market, but not all our residents can. So you got to think about parking too. Although I'm all for increasing green space right around the Farm Women's Market. Don't get me wrong. I like the idea of a park in that area and back. I think some of the surface level parking needs to be kept for some people who just have mobility issues and maybe are afraid of parking in underground parking. And very limited, and you know, let's make it mostly green. But I think what really appalls me is the sheer massing and hugeness of these buildings. They don't highlight the Farm Women's Market, this historic resource. They don't highlight it. They overshadow it, overpower it, and I just think it's an abominable. I wish we could figure out some other way to keep the Farm Women's Market going, essentially as it is, refurbish the building, painting it, maybe putting a slate roof on, doing some other things, maybe putting more green around it, saving the sycamore trees if we can do it, saving the fencing, which I agree that fencing is an important historical note. But I don't like this project one bit. And again, I'm not speaking for the town necessarily, but I am speaking for some of our residents who I know feel the way we do. And believe me, if this project goes forward, there's going to be a lot of pushback from residents
comment.
Of the community.
Thank you so much. Do we have one more comment? And if you could keep it brief, that'd be great.
Sure thing. I represent 7101 Wisconsin, the building to the south of the proposed 7121. On behalf of that building, please stop calling it the Darth Vader building. You could work on that, George. Thank you.
What's the preferred name? The Ford building, right?
Well, we came up with 7101 Wisconsin. Maybe it'll catch on. Wanted to note a couple things. At work in this block, I'd be excited to see some change come to the Women's Farm Market, particularly to that outdoor space, which is underwhelming. To do something better with that outdoor area would be really terrific. I did also want to note, though, we have met with the 7121 team and look forward to meeting with them further. As currently configured, this doesn't meet the tower step backs of 45 to 60 feet between towers, between 7101 and 7121. There's a lot of ways to treat that and a lot of ways to work with that beyond just talking about distance. This is concept plan level, and we look forward to working with Bernstein Management further, figuring out ways that'll make that work for us. Thank you.
All right, great. So just to summarize the high-level comments, it sounds like the last time, we want to see a diagram that shows where the design guidelines would have the massing, and then where there are departures, explain why there are departures so that the panel can make better decisions on flexibility. Also, as Chaudhry mentioned, if we could see some solar diagrams of the impact to the green space. The changes to potentially narrowing the one-off on the Farm Women's Market, and then possibly bringing out the base there. And also looking at opportunities to bring bases to the ground or maybe bring some of the verticality to the ground of both buildings. So first I just want to ask if folks want to have conditions, support with conditions, or if you want to support or not support the building, or both projects. So the first is support fully, if you fully support the project with no conditions. I'd like a hand raise vote.
Can I ask a technical question?
Yes.
Because the concept plan doesn't get formally approved, so that only happens if sketch plan. So is it? So what are we supporting? I guess I'm just wondering kind of what the process is.
Right.
Would you rather not
strongly
at concept?
Plan didn't do anything.
Okay,
just
the panel does not have to. You don't have to at concept plan. Just do it at sketch and site.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were great comments, and we definitely heard them and are taking them under consideration.
I think what you're missing is, I think we had some pretty significant comments about the building on the right, that's missing. I also think we had some pretty significant comments about the building on the left in terms of its density and its mass as well.
Okay. Do you want me to go through all the detailed comments, or
if you just want to keep to the high level, I think
okay.
significant comments on massing is I would call high level content.
Okay. All right. So then the next question is, do you feel there are any red flags for the project to reach its minimum 10 points beyond what has been mentioned?
Well, if you look at it in terms of what the project is, projects are contributing to the vicinity, mm-hmm. the revitalization of the historic building, the new green space, then that hits a lot of buttons right there. But I think there are comments, at least I'm speaking personally, about the architecture for the two buildings.
Mm-hmm. I concur with that.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
All right, well, thank you all, and we'll have notes out to you in about a week or 2 weeks. All right, thank you.
Thanks for